Okay, at the end of this week's podcast, we got some really cool interviews. Dr. Paul Offit kind of straightens everything up, talking about COVID-19 and some fun talk for moms about how to keep your kids busy throughout this whole lockdown with Kate the Chemist. It's all at the end of this week's podcast, right after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba. They have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
The podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Hey, Big D.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
Oh, the podcast.
Hello.
The
podcast. Hello.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
I'm about to make your day.
That's love, buddy.
I remembered.
Love,
you called me out last
buddy.
Time.
Love,
you
buddy.
Called me out. You said, where's the gold?
That's love, buddy.
That was my favorite call this week.
A guy this week called up. He goes, hey, I got the cure. I got the cure for coronavirus. We're like, yeah.
That's love, buddy.
Yeah, and that was the answer.
You know what? By the way, love does not cure it, coronavirus.
It, you can try, though.
No, well, it know. Does not. If you're going to base your do not base your life on it.
This podcast brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We love O'Reilly and those who are working at O'Reilly. Keeping the place running and functioning for all of us.
That's love, buddy.
That is love.
Hey, coming up after the podcast, we have a couple of interviews that
I already said all that.
Oh, did you? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was in the middle. I'm trying to order. I'm thinking about ordering this new iPhone.
The SE?
Yeah.
Dude, it's awesome.
I know,
man. We're shooting the podcast right now on the, what is it I have? The what's the latest one? The 11?
The
11, the big funky,
yeah, 11,
whatever. It's
yeah.
All the mega cameras and all that. Yeah, it's great. Wonderful. All right. But it has Face ID for your unlocking it. You know, you unlock it with your face. And it's horrible. It's horrible. It works great, but you have to hold the phone up to your face.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest thing ever. How many times do you grab your phone out of your pocket and you just hold it out, just out? And with finger ID, it was great because it didn't matter the angle, it didn't matter whatever. You could do it in your pocket and you could open it up.
Yeah.
You can't do that with Face ID, and Face ID just stinks.
Yeah, when you're ugly like me, I do it and my phone goes, ah, do I have to?
Also, Face ID doesn't work with face masks.
Or mini sunglasses. There are many sunglasses that it doesn't work on.
It works with mine. That it does work.
I have a pair that doesn't. But the other thing is that this phone is smaller. It's the size of the 8. It has the A13 chip, which is the fast chip.
So it's the same chip that's in the phone that we're doing it right now,
yes.
Which is the top of the line iPhone.
Cameras are good. You know, your battery, whatever, and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it uses the Touch ID, and so they're selling so many that it started to kind of crash their.
I want the Touch ID
system.
Back. I'm very much considering trading my fancy phone in for the iPhone SE, even though it's cheaper. Maybe like giving this one to my kid or something because I hate it.
Yeah, so it's not available until the 24th. So you can pre-order now at Apple.com, and. Good luck.
We need to get one for Carson, who has a droid, and for Patrick, who has a droid. Because how many times do we send things to you guys, and it's always low resolution? We'll send videos. We'll send a video to like a group text, and because you guys have droids, it reduces it to horrible quality.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. I just got a video from my mom, and she has an iPhone, and it's the same thing. It's all grainy and pixelated.
Warbly.
And so still not enough to make me want an iPhone, though.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I hear people say that the Androids are really good, and they say if you have an Android and you get one, you don't ever want to go back.
That's what they say about iPhones too.
Yeah, people.
That's the thing
I've
is,
used,
you pick
I mean,
sides.
I use iPhones. People, you know, I'm going to use your phone, and I
no,
can't.
No, okay, but
same.
Here,
I have the same problem, Patrick.
Here is the problem. You guys are basing it off of 15 seconds of use.
I'm basing it off of swipe. I'm never living my life without it.
What you need, which by the way was a stolen idea they took from Palm. Totally did.
No one
Again,
cares.
Going yeah, back right. to
the Welcome
OS.
To No One Cares about Bubba's Point. Bubba's still defending the Palm Treo from 15 years
no.
ago. Oh my
it was
God.
The Palm Pre. It was the Palm Pre, and it was you know, listen, still the best phone.
I like to think I'm hilarious, but every now and then God gives you comic timing, and that comic timing came from Jesus because it was
oh
perfect.
My gosh.
I think he's hating, man.
Oh, I love it.
Carson.
Anyway,
I'm crying.
Going back to the point is the Face ID sucks. It's worth it for you guys to get the SE because then you can do your fingerprint, and then you can also have good content.
I can do a fingerprint
how
on
many
my
times,
phone.
How many times yeah. do I send an emoji, and you guys go, what was that? It's a square.
Yeah, okay.
It happens a lot.
Not a lot.
Does it do you have you ever replied to Bubba asking?
No.
I usually send that LOL.
Jeez, man.
I know.
Just ganging up on my boy.
I feel like I'm Rodney Dangerfield of the
It is. It's the droid versus iPhone team.
Oh, it is so funny.
Yeah, the problem is when anybody hands me an iPhone to take a picture, if I can't figure out the camera. Then yeah, I don't want to learn a whole new system. I'll be honest. This is where I'm gonna dig in my old lady heels.
You have to live with it for a little while. You have to go about a week, even 2 weeks of using a phone, and then you decide which one you like better. Because there are certain things that I do like about Androids, and there are certain things I like about iPhones. But for day to day and for everything, I have so much invested as far as apps and everything in the iPhone. I could never switch.
Yeah.
I have to go because I am meeting my realtor at my house to take
you
pictures
closed
and list.
On it.
No, that's the house I bought. Now I have the house I have to try to sell.
Oh,
so today's the day we're actually going to list it.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, no kidding. Just really, really awesome time to try to buy and sell a house. It's awesome. Not to mention moving with literally no help or support from anyone. So.
Yeah. You didn't ask us.
No, I didn't. You're right. I didn't expect you.
Thanks for not asking us.
Yeah. You guys don't have a truck. I need a big pickup. Now, all of my friends, you know, like I said before, you spend your whole adult life doing favors for people so that when it's your turn to move, they'll help you move. And then
That's
now
love, buddy.
Yeah, everybody's got the perfect excuse. Oh, yeah, man, you know, this Rona. We can't
Are moving
a house.
Companies working right now?
Some of them are. Some of them aren't.
I just wondered.
So
yeah. I think you can get a U-Haul truck, though. So.
Oh, great. Me trying to put stuff in a U-Haul truck by myself is like the most pitiful thing you've ever seen.
Bite the bullet and call movers, man.
Oh, no, I'm calling movers.
Okay.
We're going to get a call from Patrick or a text in a couple days. It's going to come in really low quality, and it's going to be a video of him with back pains. And he's going to be like, I'm sorry, guys. I won't be there Monday because I tried to load a refrigerator by myself. And that's what's going to happen. So expect
I'm not doing that. No. Yeah, I'm not dumb enough to do that. You see, that's the kind of thing you do in your 20s because you don't know any better. I've learned that lesson.
I'd say right now you have a lot of people who are trying to get some work. And so they'll move you.
I got a guy painting my house, the new house, because.
Oh, I still need to get his info.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got stuff to get done, too.
And so many people who are hurting with. Mm-hmm. Jobs and furloughed and all that stuff. It's bad.
Well, where we live, the dump is closed, so I can't even load up a truck and bring stuff to because I'm like, we gotta get my house into shape to throw it away, and I got like an old dog house, you know, and stuff
burn
like
that.
But I'm not burning it. They don't have a big burn mark in my backyard. I gotta sell the house.
There's also, gotta be a way around that, man.
Yeah,
I burn everything. I do. Kathy,
you have a fire pit, don't you?
Yeah. So I was cleaning out the basement, and so there's all this stuff in there we just throw in there, like an old baby crib.
Oh, Bubba, the
I fixed it.
Sorry, the volume was super low.
I had the volume low for the TV
We're
commercial.
Testing the TV commercial stuff.
So anyway, the way I got an old baby crib, I have my old Letterman jacket, and the Letterman jacket's moldy. I'd have burned it. I burned the baby crib. I burned all that stuff. I think I burned a mattress.
The hell of the environment. Big D's just lighting stuff on fire.
It was wood. It was wood. Now, the Letterman jacket was funky. That was a weird, unusual smoke that I hadn't seen before. I scrammed. Scrammed. Why I just
scrammed? Thank you, 90-year-old man.
I've been watching the Stooges or something.
Almost as bad as me saying Moxie yesterday. My grandparents used to burn all their trash. Like, literally, the garbage didn't pass.
We had a burn.
They threw everything into the
burn
pit.
Burn barrel.
Oh, my gosh. I just remembered how much fun that was when I was a kid. Like, yeah, Dad used to
throw weed through. We burned everything. And then the one day that we had a
Christmas tree.
Christmas trees go up like crap.
Man, Christmas trees are fun to watch burn.
We had shaving cream. There was a little bit left in it. And,
oh, you didn't throw it in,
dude,
did you?
There, I didn't know, man. I was in charge of that. I was 6 years old. And so I'm just throwing stuff in. It's burning. I turn my back and I hear it sounded like an explosion. Because it was. And I look up and it was snowing because all these little pieces of foam shaving cream falling down.
Oh my gosh.
It was great. Scariest and most magical moment in my life.
Hey, kids, don't do that. You can really get hurt. All right, I got to go. Y'all have fun.
Bye, Patrick.
Good luck.
See you later.
That's love, buddy.
Yeah, but no, getting back to the people who are filing for unemployment and. I tell you, it's tough, man. It's rough. A lot of people are really scared.
Mm-hmm. My bud Gunther, he filed and ended up putting the wrong number, and he fat fingered it. He did something like what we would do. He put one of the numbers was wrong in his Social Security. So now, every time he tries to call, it's this automated phone tree. Every time he tries to call, it won't recognize his actual Social Security number.
Mm. Does he even remember the old one? That he screwed up?
He thinks he does. So when he tries, it then says it's erroneous. I don't know which one he knows.
Right.
So he got somebody on the phone. They said, yeah, send us an email and we'll fix it. Well, that's been 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't get into the system. I can't, you know. So he's not going to. I have a feeling they're just going to go, oh, it's wrong. Just don't worry about him. We got too many other people that, you know, have their stuff right.
Yeah.
So I feel bad for him and others who
have
done it.
Yeah, I've talked to at least 4 people who have filed. And they've gotten the email saying, hey, we got your stuff. And that's as far as it's gotten because it's so backlogged in so many places. And people are just waiting on those approvals and the checks and trying to get that money. So it's just that really weird in-between time.
Yeah. There are a lot of small businesses who have filed for the small business thingy. We did as well. And
because we're a small business. You're looking at us right here. I saw the whole business.
I saw yesterday, day before maybe, that they ran out of money.
Oh.
And so there are all these people who filed that aren't going to get any of it because they're out. And I called Patrick. I'm like, hey, dude, have you seen this? He's like, yeah. He goes, luckily we got in on the very first day. Our business manager is really on top of it. Big shout out to Katie. And
Katie!
Then so we have a number and everything, like a filing number. So we're in.
Are we?
Huh?
Are we? I mean, I'm not going to assume we're in until we actually see something out of it.
Yeah, true. So, well, we have a number, but I guess that's what
we got. A case number.
Look, we got a number.
Yay.
No
hopefully
money,
somebody didn't put the number in wrong.
So anyway, it's crazy times, man. And it's going to end, man. We're going to come out of this. I think we're going to come out of it pretty fast, especially everything heating up, warming up. Forget, I know it's snowing some places. Aside from that, it's going to go by really quick.
Well,
I think the economy
though,
is going to bounce back. And
I don't know if the temperature really makes that much of a difference now. I've been watching, you know, the cases in Louisiana and Florida and your warm areas. It's not
heat related.
Yeah, it's not showing that it's very heat sensitive.
Thank you for taking that away.
I know. I'm just trying to be honest here. I don't want to give somebody some fake news. But yeah, we do need to get back to work. We do need to start opening up the economy. Anybody who agrees differently or disagrees with this is completely off your rocker. The damage to the nation would be exponentially, you know, compounded for every month that we're down. And we can't afford to do it as a country, as a nation, as a world. The world economy is affected. What's the only country that's still running right now? Is that Sweden? Are they the only one that's not doing lockdowns and all that?
Sweden's economy is fine.
And their death rate is basically the same as ours.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go, well, how many people are getting affected? I don't know. But people got mad at us for saying that on the air today. We had one lady calling up or on Twitter was like, you know, I'm over 60 and I have asthma, and what you're saying is that my life doesn't count. Like, no, it's not what we're saying.
That's when people like that, you just go, yep, that's what I was. Because obviously no one thinks that.
Right.
And then they say that just to try. And then that's when you disagree with them and go, yep, you're right. Hope you die. Bye. It's so stupid.
But
I hate people who do that.
But you know what? You can't put that into writing because as soon as you do, you get turned in, you know, to this thing, and all of a sudden you're demonized.
Screenshots live forever.
Screenshots?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that was nice. I told her, look, I understand you're making this completely about you. Our comments on the radio that we were making about us, now you're making about you. That's not the point. We're not being dismissive about anyone's health. If you are someone who feels that you're at risk, if you're someone who maybe has issues, stay home.
So what you're saying is...
What I'm saying is if you are an able-bodied person, then yes, you should be allowed to get back to work. We got to get this country going again.
You don't care about me.
I don't care about you.
You don't care?
If you are the problem, then I say you need to stay home. I do care about you. Don't get me wrong. I do care about you. Stay home.
Some people really don't care about it. You know, honestly, some people I just really don't care about.
There's a couple. Like, I'm with you on that one.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I mean, okay. I mean, I'll say I do, but I really don't. I really don't. I think when everything starts opening up, you know, we have the new phases now of opening the economy back up. I think restaurants are going to flourish. I think some are not going to make it. I forget the percentage of restaurants that are just going to completely close because they just can't. But those that are, I think, are going to be stronger than they were before. And I think some of those are going to get kind of weeded out.
It sucks, though, for the small businesses. That's the one thing that, you know, I mean, you're a mom and pop business. If you didn't get in on the SBA, the small business thing, then you're going to suffer.
Yeah, I don't know what you do.
And it's absolutely, it crushes my heart to see these people who are having to shut down and furlough people and get fired and you know, potentially never open their doors again. There was a place, I pass it every single day. It's that little bakery by where we go to the gym. And there's a little bakery. They were about to open. It looked like the grand opening was going to be like in 2 days before everything got shut down. So it's like...
How do they make it? Now they have all the bills of the lease and all that and the machinery and stuff like that.
And all the outlay of cash in the beginning. And it's terrible.
Yeah.
They're never going to recover from that.
Mm-mm. I don't know what you do, man.
This is why we get back to work.
I think about like there's like you know, a small business and there's like a husband and wife or whatever or some kind of couple. And like the husband says, I'll take care of it. I'll do all the filing for it. And he like puts it off. And it comes out and says, hey, we're out of money. And she's like, yeah, but you did all that, right? And he has to go,
Well, that's why the serological testing is, everybody talks about, you know, the testing for people who are ill. What we need to find out is how many people have had it before. And that is the most important test. I put in for that program here locally with one of the hospitals. Basically, it's for first responders and people who are at risk, you know, like in the hospital workers, et cetera. And what they're trying to do is figure out how many people have already had it and maybe been asymptomatic and can get back to work without having to worry about, you know, all the hoops to jump through and whatnot. So hopefully they'll call me back and say, okay, come on in. Today's your day. And they can get tested and then, you know, maybe if I have the antibodies, then I don't have to worry about it as much as others. But that's the kind of stuff, more than anything. You have all these people talking about a vaccine. The vaccine, we talked to a doctor today, and you're going to hear it. If you're listening to the audio version of the podcast, you're going to hear it at the end of the podcast. Dr. Paul Offit, he is amazing. He talks about the vaccine, and he is pro-vaccine, you could tell. But he also talks about, to get a good, effective one, it's going to take us 2 years.
2 years. You think it's going to be 2 years?
He says normally it takes a decade or more to get a good, effective one. He said, we're trying to fast track a 2 year one, and we're not going to know side effects. We're not going to know any of that stuff. He said, you have to, for it to be approved, you have to give it at least 2 years. So for all the states that are going, we have to be locked down until we get a vaccine.
No, you can't.
That's why you fast track the serological test to find out if you have the antibodies. Yeah. And those people who do need to get back into the workforce and back out into the world and start the thing running. For those who are at risk, yes, we're going back to it. Stay home. It's not that we don't care about you. We do care about you. That's why we're telling you to stay home and everybody else to get back to work.
I can't. I'm trying to read the back of your screen there, but someone is saying, talking about Gatlinburg being completely like a ghost town because it's such a tourist area.
All tourist areas are like that. I mean, dude, think about the fact that nobody has been to Disneyland in a month. Nobody's been to Disney World. Nobody's done any of that stuff. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, man.
Nobody's gotten drunk at the bars in a month.
Yeah, they're doing it at home in front of their kids. 6 o'clock in the morning.
Quarantine rules. There are no rules.
Donna, thank you, by the way. Donna on Facebook said, nice haircut with a heart. Much love to you all.
Well, you ought to turn. Let everyone see the back of their hair.
Hold on.
Bubba, okay. Bubba got a haircut from his daughter.
I saw your video, okay. Yeah.
So last night I did. I was like, man, we have to film a TV commercial, and I don't want to go on looking gruff and whatever, because I don't know how long the TV commercial is going to run. So I'm like, I need a fresh haircut. So I told my daughter, she's 16, I said, here's the clippers, which she had never touched clippers before in her life. And I said, look, just don't go any higher than right here, because if you cut any higher than that, they won't be able to fix it. So I did that. So look at the back with a hat on.
Yeah, it looks all right. Yeah, that's a good angle right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to, no, keep going. Turn. Stop right there. Now take your hat off.
Oh, no. You don't want
what? No, no, you've got to. Holy moly. Boy.
But it doesn't matter. They can
look
fix
at that,
that
forest.
They can fix that.
Oh. Wow. Yeesh.
Dude, they can fix that, though.
That's oh, brother, thing. Where art thou?
Well, here's the, when I get a haircut anyway, I always do the number. I tell them, do a number one. So that's like right at the scalp. So they're going to do a number one up. They'll just go a little higher, and it's going to grow out, and it's going to be great.
Chris says you should have had them cut a 17 into it.
Yeah, we should have. I mean, look, here's the thing, though. I wear a hat everywhere I go, and I'm cool with it. It looks like I got a haircut.
Someone says being drunk in the bar is much better than at home. My neighbor was over the house. I was burning a bunch of stuff.
What you burning, neighbor?
And he
that's love, buddy.
He was a little tippy. It's like, what's going on, Mike? Now she's making dinner. It's the things we call them when they're rolled up in the oven. I'm like, babies? No. I go, I don't know, man. What are you talking about? What type of food is it? It's like got cheese on it. I said, is it like Italian? No.
It's some kind of, dude, they took all the ingredients of the house and just threw it into
it's
a thing?
It's got cheese on it, and it has like meat inside, and you roll them up. I think it's Mexican.
Cheesy meat?
It's a Mexican-y dish. And I was like, are you talking about enchiladas? Yes. Enchiladas. And he looked at me like I agreed to give him my kidney. He's like, yes. Enchiladas.
Oh, so
you
he really
solved
actually
the
was
riddle
drunk.
Of the Sphinx for him.
He was, yeah, man. Quarantine, man.
I'm actually, you know, it's funny because I don't drink very often. I mean, it's actually very rare that I drink anymore. And I've noticed that I have been drinking about a beer a night now.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's all I'm it like, takes for I'll you. Have,
huh. Well, no, it's not that it's all. It's just I've been craving just to have a beer.
Dude, you wear that shirt with the cutoff sleeves on it? That your tank top, my your homemade
fishing,
tank
my
top?
My fishing shirt?
Do you wear that when you're drinking?
Yeah.
Dang, man.
Yeah.
You got a
take
cigarette?
That bottle cap off with your belt buckle?
And you know what? I'll dangling. Take, here's what I'll do. I'll take a picture for you next time I'm wearing that shirt, and I'll take my hat off.
Oh, boy.
And I'll turn to the back so it
yes.
looks. So you get do the it. Full redneckified yes. Bubba. Yeah, man.
And then just say, I like me some taters. Or
hey, man, I'm not too proud. I'm good.
I got
you
so,
should be a little. You should have a little bit of pride.
Just a smidge. I dusted my wine rack. That's about as was close
it,
to.
Was it clean? Like, did you have anything in there?
Oh, no. I have so much alcohol at my house because people give me bottles of wine. Or there are certain bands that will make their own beer, and I want the bottles or I want the cans, but I don't drink it. So it just sits there collecting dust, literally. So this is how bored I got. I'm like, I'm going to clean off my wine rack. And just, you know, went at it, got everything off, and cleaned it all, and then repositioned it for a display item for, you know, me, because there's nobody else in my house. But now it's
well,
prettier to look at. Yeah. But I've had friends come over, and they're like, oh, cool, let's drink this bottle. And I'm like, I mean, okay, but I don't know how long it's been there. And I know, I think wine you can keep for longer, but I don't actually
yeah,
know those
good.
Rules.
As long as you haven't opened it, it's good.
No, it just
and don't
sits
store
there.
It like in direct sunlight and heat.
No, I don't. It's just, look, I have bottles of Walking Dead wine and Outlander wine just because I'm a fan.
Did
girl.
You go get that Walking Dead wine after I sent it to you? Or
I'd already had it. Oh, I already had it.
Yeah, they had it for sale. It was like $6 a bottle or something. I'm like, Carson,
before
Walking
we had
Dead
to,
wine for $6.
Before we sheltered in place, one of my friends threw a Walking Dead premiere party in February, and her party favors were that Walking Dead wine, apparently because it was so cheap. And then what did I do? I took that bottle and I re-gifted it to someone 2 weeks later.
You did not.
I did. I was going to stay at a friend's house in Memphis, and I'm like, oh, I should probably bring him and his wife a gift. And I knew they were fans, so I wrapped up the Walking Dead wine.
I will give you a pro tip for the gifts that I re-gift, and I get it, and I go, there's no way I'm ever going to use this.
Uh-huh.
I learned a little trick. Find a place, put a piece of masking tape or something on there, and write down who gave it to you.
Mm-hmm.
That way, on the bottom of that bottle of wine, you can look and go, Donna. Okay, so Donna does not get this
right,
bottle.
Right.
When you gift it to somebody else, just make sure it's not to Donna.
Yep. Oh, no, I know. I know who not to give it to. That's why also I transported
it. I forget. That's why I have to write them down.
What's up, Matt Baldrige? He's chiming in.
Matt.
Let's see, Matt. Also, a lot of Anne Marie saying, hey, I got my quarantine Christmas postcard yesterday. Thank you. Love you.
Those are great, man. And by the way, if you did get a postcard from us, one of our Christmas cards, please make sure you tag us on Instagram and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. We'd love to see it because if you don't tag us, we're not going to see it.
Yeah. And so, hey, Glenda. So a lot of people want to drink Carson's alcohol.
I would like
somebody
to drink
said
the
it's
alcohol.
Bubba Dibbles Jr.
You know, I still have the bottle of the Sinatra Select, that Jack Daniels.
I'll take that.
Yeah, that's...
You know I'll take that.
Yeah, like Trisha Yearwood gave it to us, and I was like, and these are not cheap.
Yeah, it's like $100 bucks
yeah,
for
so
that
I
bottle.
Yeah, so it's sitting there, and I'm like, I'll have some occasion, or I'll find somebody to give it to.
You know my birthday is coming up. It is, and you know
yeah, but
I
no,
love
you
Sinatra.
Already know it's a re-gifted thing.
No, because it
he
saves me money. I don't care
that's
at
true.
All. I'm totally about it because if it's going to save me money from having to go buy more, then absolutely. That's good stuff. That's like you don't put Coke in that, Jack. That is the good stuff.
Hey, I really hope that you will listen to the podcast. I know a lot of people are watching on Facebook, and I was kind of commenting there. That's where that was from. But because the interviews that we have for you coming up are so good. Two really good, insightful interviews with some doctors that I think will either put you at ease or just give you some information.
Well, Kate's not a doctor. She's a chemist.
I'm sorry. You're like, right. One of them is the doctor. I was thinking the doctor. So he's...
Dr. Paul Offit.
I thought he was very, very informative. He's kind of dry, which is the way you should have your doctor, by the way. You uh-huh. don't want a funny doctor. Screw that.
Why not? Yeah, he's the director of the Vaccine Education Center at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So this guy kind of knows vaccines and
super
viruses
boring,
and
dull loser.
No.
But
here's the
cool
thing.
What you want when it comes to this guy.
We put Kate first. At the end of the podcast, we're going to put Kate first. That way you get the entertaining, ha-ha, yay, we're going to help all the moms. And then you get to the doctor.
Yeah, superficial and light.
He actually wasn't boring. He was good.
He is very, very bland, but the information is so, so good. I know that so many people are scared right now, and I think this will – scared, and it's kind of moving into anger. People are like, all right. Okay, time to let's do this.
Like I'm scared.
I'm scared. So great. It's one of my favorites. It comes to my head in the middle of I'm doing something not related at all. I'm scared.
So good.
Oh. Anyway. Anybody have anything else to add? By the way, again, don't forget, if you need a haircut, get your clippers and let your kids cut your hair.
Yeah.
They'll love it.
Yes.
Something for them to do. You can always tell that story from now on.
Yes.
For the rest of your life, you can go, remember the time we were locked down in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic and you cut my hair? Pretty great.
Yeah.
Ladies, just keep the ponytails.
Keep the ponytail.
Yeah,
and
don't let anybody touch your hair.
We're about 2 weeks away from women going out and getting the dye out of wild berries to put on their hair.
Did I tell you the cost? This is something we have to do on Monday. We got to remember to talk about it. I asked Ava to cut my hair. She goes, can I dye it too? And I said, no. And she goes, well, then I'm not going to cut it.
Oh.
So she is going to dye my hair over this weekend.
Fun.
I think she's going to do
what
it Sunday
color?
Night. I don't know. And that's what I said. She wanted to go like this dark brown. I went, no, it's like almost black. I'm like, I'm not going for emo buddy Bubba right now. We got to change this. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. She ordered a color, and I said anything but something like green, and she's like,
"All right,
okay.
So no manic panic."
What is that?
That's that really funky hair colors that are bright pink and blue.
I honestly wouldn't have a problem with any of that except for the green.
No, because your hat covers it.
Yeah, I mean, I would be fine with that.
No, we gotta shoot stuff.
Yeah, I wear a hat.
Make sure it's not. I don't want to have because that stuff's gonna live forever. People watching TV and they go, "Oh, that's what Big D and Bubba. What the heck is up? What's this weird color?
Why does he look like the Joker?"
Anyway,
he looks like he ate the Joker.
I hope everyone has a great weekend and some time that you get to hang with your family some more. Like, okay, you don't want to spend time with your family. I hope that you get away from your family
a little bit. Family, I've been hanging with my family.
Yeah, we all love them, but
great.
You know what? Hey, enough's enough. I'm like, go for a drive. And, go do something else.
Unless you're in Michigan, then you can't go for a drive. And if you do...
Don't get paint. Don't get paint.
Or seeds.
Oh,
and don't use your boat motor.
Oh, boy. Anyway, we love you guys, gals.
That's love, buddy.
That's right. Thank you.
All those interviews coming up next. Thanks again to O'Reilly Auto Parts. We love you.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show. On the radio every day.
That's love, buddy.
It was the podcast.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Kate Bieberdorf, it's joining us. You know her as Kate the Chemist. The new book is called The Big Book of Experiments. And hey, Kate, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing great. This book came out just in time.
I know, right? I mean, what a serendipitous thing to happen. When I put together the book, so it's called The Big Book of Experiments, and there's 25 hands-on science experiments that kids can do safely at home in their kitchen with their parents. But when I was putting it together back in May, I had no idea what situation we would be in now. And it just so happens that this came out at the time when parents are stuck at home with their kids and they're trying to figure out how to entertain and educate them at the same time. And so I would highly recommend this book just to kind of get you through the next couple weeks.
And let's be honest, it's fun making a mess together too.
Yes. Are you kidding me? I love that. Anything that has a bit of explosions or some bubbles, maybe some highlighter goop, I love it.
So the things that you're doing, these experiments, these are things that parents can actually like be like you. You can be like Kate the Chemist, but so you don't have to like have special equipment or anything like that.
No, and that was one of the things that was super important to me. So I travel across the country. I do things in Newton, Iowa, Roswell, New Mexico, in addition to like New York and LA. And so I wanted to make sure that no matter who the kid was, where they live, what their socioeconomic status is, that they would all be able to do every single one of these demonstrations. So the majority of the experiments, all the stuff that you're going to need is already in your pantry or your craft bin. There's one or two you might not have stuff, but you can order that online really easily if you want to do the experiments.
I also thought it was cool that you were doing, because we actually subscribe to your channel, and because I'm a nerd, and you were showing the fake tattoo thing, like straight from the book was the first one you did, is like how to make fake tattoos using cornstarch and things out of the pantry.
Cornstarch and Kool-Aid, and you can substitute Kool-Aid for food coloring. It just stains more, so I typically avoid that one. But yeah, fake tattoos, it's super fun. I'm trying to post a new video every day. Twice a week I'll have a science experiment. I don't know if I'll be able to keep that throughout all of quarantine and self-isolation, but we'll figure it out. But in the meantime right now, I just want to try to bring science alive and make it fun. And if you need to put your kid in front of my YouTube channel for 10 minutes, you can have a breather and just take a minute, then I can educate your kid for you while you can just breathe for a second and
Absolutely.
Take a moment of peace for your mental health.
You just look up Kate the Chemist. You get links at her website, which is katethechemist.com. So the new book is called The Big Book of Experiments, and you need to get it, and that way you can be at home and impress your kids like, "Mom, Dad, wow, you're like a scientist."
You know what would be great is to do this in secret, like the husband and wife get together and you practice it like up in the bathroom or something like that, and then you go downstairs and you act like you know what you're doing.
Right. That's right.
I love that idea. One of the experiments is called edible snot, and so I think you could have a lot of fun with your kids doing that.
That's right. She said edible snot.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
Isn't it already? I don't know. So
don't you wish you had invented a way, like you could have put it in, and like maybe in the next big book of experiments, you could put in there how to convert your whiskey still into something to make, you know, hand sanitizer. That would be great.
We all have whiskey stills.
I I know. I keep getting people sending me notes of like, hey, I've got moonshine. Will that work? And I'm like, it'll work for something. Like,
we're so excited for your new book. And I know a lot of work's gone into this. It's Kate the Chemist, The Big Book of Experiments. If you are a parent who's trying to figure out how to get this thing going with your kids and you're doing the whole e-learning thing, definitely want to get this book and also check out her videos as well. You can get links for that. KateTheChemist.com. K-A-T-E. KateTheChemist.com. Kate, thanks so much. Great stuff. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
See you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hey, Dr. Paul Offit is the author of the latest book, Overkill, When Modern Medicine Goes Too Far. He's the director of vaccine education of the Vaccine Education Center, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Hey, Dr. Offit, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning.
Everyone wants to know, when's there going to be a vaccine for COVID-19? What's your gut telling you?
I cannot imagine we would have a vaccine within 2 years. I mean, we just got the virus, you know, a few months ago. We still don't know how we're going to make the vaccine. I mean, are we going to do it by, say, taking the whole virus and killing it, which is what we do with hepatitis A vaccine or polio? Are we going to do it by weakening the virus, which is what we do with the measles vaccine? Are we going to do it by taking just one protein from the virus, that sort of surface or spike protein, which is what we do with hepatitis B vaccine or human papillomavirus vaccine? Are we going to use genetic approaches like mRNA or DNA? So we don't even know that. And I think once you then know that, then you have to do these sort of small dose ranging studies just to get a rough idea what the dose is. Then you have to do sort of larger and larger safety and immunogenicity trials to make sure that it's safe and at least induces an immune response. And then you still have to do a big efficacy trial to make sure that it works and it's safe. Presumably that would be done in healthcare workers. Then you have to scale it up, which is the hardest part, mass producing it for what's going to be tens or hundreds of millions of people. The notion we could do that in 2 years is remarkable to me. I mean, although there are 40 companies that are doing this now, and there's plenty of money and plenty of interest, I still think you still have to go through those steps that are requisite to get to a vaccine. I was the co-inventor of one vaccine. It took us 26 years to do that, and that's pretty typical.
Wow, 26 years?
That is not what I wanted to hear, doctor.
So my question is, basically you're saying that we're not going to get a vaccine for COVID-19 for a long time, but let's talk about kind of some of the treatments. Like, you hear a lot of stuff about hydroxychloroquine and all that, and a lot of people are saying that the reason there's negative sides to people talking about it is because there's no money to be made in it because nobody owns the patent or the trademark anymore.
There are better options out there, like so-called antivirals like remdesivir, lopinavir, or favipiravir. We'll see whether those work. They're certainly far more promising than the hydroxychloroquine, but it wasn't. I don't think it was a patent issue. I mean, Sanofi makes that drug. I'm sure they would have been happy to have it work, but it just didn't seem to.
Are there other things, other advice that you have with treating this COVID-19?
Yeah, two things, actually. And actually, they're both in this book that I have, Overkill. One is don't treat fever. I mean, the goal to getting better from COVID-19 is that you want to make an antibody response directed against that virus. It's B cells that make that response. Your immune system works better at a higher temperature. That's why we make fever. That's why everything that walks, crawls, flies, or swims on the face of the earth makes fever, even though there's a high metabolic cost for fever. We do it because it's adaptive. We do it because our immune system works better. So-called neutrophils kill bacteria better at a higher temperature. B cells make antibodies better at a higher temperature. So let your body do what it's supposed to do. Don't treat fever. I think the other thing is probably the most frequent question I get asked is, you know, should I take vitamin C? I mean, certainly vitamin C doesn't. That's another chapter in this book. It doesn't work to treat or prevent colds. There's been 50 studies showing this. So get your vitamin C the way you're supposed to get it, which is, you know, through fruits and vegetables. You don't need to take supplemental vitamin C.
Dr. Paul Offit is with us. His book is called Overkill, When Modern Medicine Goes Too Far. And, you know, doctor, there's so many voices out there, people saying it's this, it's that, here's a timeline, here's what we know, here's what we think. Where do you think we are on the chart for the curve that everyone keeps talking about?
I think we've done it. I think we've flattened the curve. I mean, our doubling time has gone from, in terms of deaths or hospitalizations, has gone from 2 days to 4 days. Now it's at least 6 days and possibly 7 days. We're doing great. You know, the Discharges are clearly greater than admissions. ICUs are largely empty these days. I mean, because we don't do any elective surgeries. We're there. I think we're there. I think we can slowly start to move back into the workforce because we are about to face the second part of this major public health disaster, which is massive joblessness that will lead to massive homelessness and all the medical attendant risks associated with massive homelessness. And there's no perfect solution here, but I think we should start testing the water with one foot and slowly get back into the workforce, realizing there may be a bump up again in cases, but the whole issue is, can hospitals handle it? I mean, if the goal is to avoid any more cases of COVID or any more deaths from COVID, then we should stay inside for the next 2 to 3 years. That's not going to happen. I mean, life is risk. We're going to have to get out there to some extent. I mean, it sounds, whenever you say that, it sounds like you're callous and don't care about those cases. That's not true. I think there are two public health issues that we have to balance here, and there's no perfect solution. But we have to start moving out, I think, of our homes.
I agree. And there's so many people talk about the herd immunity and all that kind of stuff as well. And I think there's something to that. I mean, it's the same thing with, you know, you have to get the flu. Sometimes you just have to. And it's good for your body to build up immunities. And you know, glad that we've been able to flatten the curve. Now it's time to start to build that immunity up for our society to continue moving forward.
I think we're at that tipping point, guys. I think we're in that weird thing where people are starting to get a little goofy. Yeah, I mean, we got to get people back out working, man. I wish Dr. Offit was my neighbor. Wouldn't it be great just to talk to him across the yard?
He would hate to be our neighbors because all he'd want to do is ask questions.
Hey, doctor, I saw this thing. It said that there's astronauts. They're leaving Earth, going to Moon. Is this true? He would calm us down. Hey, the book is called Overkill, Dr. Paul Offit. Pick it up. It's available wherever you get your books. So you can do the old e-readers, I'm assuming, Dr. Offit?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
And I wish you read it, too. I want to hear him read the book, because that would be, it would be calming.
Read to me, Dr. Offit.
It would be calming. I need them. I need you. Dr. Paul Offit, thanks so much for the hard work and for the information. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
You too. Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.